Series by Francis Chan. We're kind of going off of his videos that he's been doing. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. We talked about the power of God last week, or 2 weeks ago. Last week we talked about Jesus, following Jesus, what it means to be a follower of Christ. And this morning we're going to kind of wrap up the Trinity, the Godhead, the three in one, the Father, the Son, and now the Holy Spirit, talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's kind of a churchy language that gets grown up. If you don't grow up in church, you may not understand it because we have kind of a language of our own. We say things like the blood of Christ will cleanse us from every sin. Well, if you didn't grow up in the church, that can be kind of a strange saying to you. You don't know exactly what they mean by that. This morning we're going to look at one of those phrases, being led by the Spirit. What does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? You see, we believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one God. It's called the Trinity. It's not three gods. It's one God expressed in three personalities that are distinct in and of each one of itself. And we believe that the Holy Spirit is real. We believe that the Holy Spirit is alive and that He wants to live and dwell in us. Sometimes you'll hear us talk about something called the baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit. And what we mean by that is that the Holy Spirit wants to be real to us. He wants to live with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to communicate with us. We feel His presence. Maybe you're not used to the kind of worship that we do here, where we raise our hands and we speak verbally praises to God. That's because we believe that He is here. Wherever two or three are gathered together, the Bible says He's there also. And so we're going to talk about what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I want to start out our study this morning by looking at a man that was led, that was walking with, that was influenced by the Holy Spirit. His name is Simeon, and his story is found in the book of Matthew. It's a story that usually gets read at Christmas time. We've kind of relegated Simeon to Christmas time. We're going to pull him out of the closet today and, you know, dust him off and look at him in February, you know, way away from Christmas. Christmas has passed. But this is a story of a Spirit-led life, the life of a man who's led by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 25, it says, at that time, this is after the birth of Christ, by the way, Jesus is being brought to the temple to be dedicated, which was something every Jewish person did after circumcision. They brought him to the temple, they were dedicated, they offered a sacrifice, and then they were part of the community of Israel after that. They were part of the family of God after that. And it says, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. That's kind of the key phrase that we're looking at here this morning. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, as we read the rest of this piece of Scripture, we're going to see what that means. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit upon you? Some of you maybe have seen some television programs, stuff like that, where people get the Spirit and they do all kinds of strange and unusual things. I want you to kind of set that aside right now, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is a daily phenomena. He wants to be a daily and hourly guiding, leading presence in our lives that influences everything that we do. So this man the Holy Spirit is upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. There's another little clue that we're going to be looking at. The Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. And he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. And Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." This is the story of a man who was led by the Holy Spirit. This is really the only mention that we have of this guy in Scripture at all. This is our only glimpse of him. But we get a glimpse of an old man who has been led by the Holy Spirit. He is sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit in his life. He's paying attention to when the Holy Spirit speaks. Now, if I had to kind of put our message in a nutshell here today, I would probably put it in that phrase. We need to be sensitive. We need to pay attention to the moving, to the speaking, to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm convinced that one of the biggest reasons that we are not led more by the Holy Spirit like Simeon was, is because we don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit. We don't listen for the Holy Spirit. We don't expect the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to move upon us, to give us guidance and give us hope. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is that moving of the Holy Spirit and our being aware. And we're going to talk about three things that the Holy Spirit achieves or accomplishes in our lives when He is at the forefront. Now, before that, Francis Chan has a video that we're going to watch on being led by the Spirit. So let's take a look at that, and then we'll come back and we'll finish up together. Don't you like a church like that? A church where the Holy Spirit is in motion before we even get here, before we even start the song service. You know, I look forward to a church where people begin praying for each other because there are needs out there before the service even starts, where we're loving on each other as we come in, where strangers are strangers for about 10 seconds when they walk through the door, because there's such fellowship and unity that's here. Now, I got to be honest, I think we do all right at that. We're not perfect. We're not the best church in the world by any stretch of the imagination. But we've got that churchy thing down. Being Pentecostal helps a little bit with that because we focus on the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit. But there's one area that I wanted to kind of jump off from with that Chan was talking about, and that is the church. The Holy Spirit wants to be that everyday Spirit, because if the Spirit only moves in the church, that's half the battle. The Holy Spirit wants to be the Spirit of everyday life in our lives. You know, sometimes we live like we've got a little container at the doorway of the church and it says Holy Spirit on it, and we take it out, we put it on like a coat, and we come in and we sit down and we worship and we praise and we pray and we do all that kind of stuff, and then we get done and we get to the doorway again and we take off our coat of the Holy Spirit and we put it in there and we go on and live our lives in not exactly the same way that we live our church lives. You know, it's kind of like if you went to somebody's house and you sat down and they invited you over for dinner and they're a good cook. You know that they're a good cook. You just can't wait to wrap your lips around what they're fixing. And they sit down and they say, well, here's your salad, and you have the salad, and you know, salad's good. And there are good salads, but it's a salad. For you vegetarians out there, I apologize. Put bacon on it. It'll be all right. But it's a salad, you know, and you eat your salad, and they walk away and they take your salad plate away and they say, all right, you're ready for dessert. Wow, this is unique. This is unusual. Dessert first. Cool. And they serve you dessert, and it's a nice bowl of vanilla ice cream because you're Dutch. And some of you will get that later. And you finish your dessert, and they come and they take that away, and then they say, well, thanks for coming. Enjoyed having you. Have a nice day. Bye-bye. And you're thinking, what's up with this? I came for the main event, for the main course. Folks, the main course of life is what we do outside of these four walls. And somehow we've gotten it in our minds that what happens here on Sunday, while significant, while meaningful, while necessary, while, you know, it's part and parcel of who we are, it's not the main event. It is to get us ready for life outside of these four walls, because that's where the people are that need the Spirit of God. And the Spirit-led life is not meant to be penned inside the church. So what does it look like? What does it appear like someone that is leading a Spirit-led life? Well, that's a question that could take quite a while to answer. But I just want to look at the life of Simeon here and the old man at the temple that was led by the Spirit, and just take a quick look at three things that the Spirit-led life looks like. And what I want you to do is I want you to kind of compare your life to this and say, okay, where do I measure up? Where don't I measure up? Where do I need work? Where do I need to kind of adjust my life to this? Because our lives are intended to conform to Scripture. Sometimes we like Scripture to conform to our lives. We probably never say that, but we want Scripture to conform to our lives so that we'll feel comfortable about it. But I've discovered that the more I read the Bible, the more I see what Jesus has to say, the more uncomfortable I get with the way that I'm living. I read it and I go, man, I'm not measuring up there. I've got to either change or throw this book away, one of the two. What does the Spirit-led life look like? And number one, the Holy Spirit-led life turns on the lights. It says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. It says that he was led by the Holy Spirit. It says that day the Spirit led him to the temple. And this is a theme that goes on all through the New Testament and even the Old Testament. It says of Jesus in Matthew 4:11, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Now think about that for a minute. Jesus, the Son of God, is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Tells me he was in touch with the Holy Spirit. That tells me he was listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't explain to you what the Holy Spirit sounds like. I've never heard an audible voice. But I can tell you of times where the Spirit has led me to talk to people, to ask questions, to go to certain places, to do things that I wouldn't normally do, but just that power of the Holy Spirit in my life has led me to do those things. And by no means is this a daily occurrence. I need to get more into that. But Jesus himself was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. In Romans 8:14, it says Romans 8:12-14, he talks about the fact that we have two natures. We have our spiritual nature, we have our fleshly nature. And the fleshly nature is always saying, you know, do what feels good, do what makes you happy, do this, do that. And the spiritual nature is teaching us to say no to the fleshly nature, and that's where the battle lies. But it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That tells us that it is normal, that is expected, that we be led by the Holy Spirit. It is a natural thing that we have. In Isaiah 30:21, it says this. He's talking about the restoration of Israel when they come back to him and they give their lives to him. He says, here's one of the things that's going to happen when you're my children again. He says, your own ears will hear him right behind you. A voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. I love that specificity that was given when he talks about the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen for that quiet, still, small voice that speaks to you. You might call it your conscience. I call it the Holy Spirit when he comes and he speaks into your life and he leads you in a direction. I don't know how many of you have experienced this, but I think that we need to pay more attention to the Holy Spirit's voice. If you don't know what the Holy Spirit sounds like, the next time you think you hear him speaking to you, go to somebody that you admire. Go to somebody spiritually mature, somebody that you trust, and say, you know what? I think the Holy Spirit is saying this to me. What do you think about that? Give your life away to other people. Get good input and learn to hear the voice of the Spirit from someone who has heard the voice of the Spirit. We need to depend upon each other more. We need to disciple each other more and to teach each other what we've already learned about the Holy Spirit. If you're depending on, well, you get here Sunday morning to fill your life, you're in big trouble because I can't do that. You can't get them. You need other sources of income, if you will. You need other sources that speak into your life, people that are mature. Don't be afraid to go up and ask them, listen, I think the Spirit of God is speaking to me. Could it be? What do you think? And if you're way off base, I'll probably tell you, well, I think you're a little off base here. Maybe that's not the Holy Spirit. But you'll begin to learn about the Holy Spirit and what He means in your life. The second thing that the Spirit-led life does is it leads us to worship. Now, as Pentecostals, this is a Pentecostal church, and we enjoy worship. We love to worship God. We love to praise God. But somehow we've kind of narrowed that down a little bit to songs, singing. We're going to worship God in song. And certainly that is a form of worship, but it is a form of worship when God wants us to live a lifestyle of worship. Worship is simply the acknowledgement of God in everything that you do. When we sing, we're acknowledging the goodness of God. I love the song list from this morning. It covered the gamut of worshiping God, of lifting Him up, of His goodness to us. He's a good, good Father, isn't He? And we're telling God, You're a good Father. That's who You are. And we're just affirming that in our own voices. But you can't walk in, well, maybe you can, walk into the coffee shop and just start singing to everybody that's there. Good, good Father. You know, that's how reputations get gained. But you can walk into the coffee shop and you can live a life of worship to God, and you can live a life of glorifying God by the way that you act, by the way that you talk, by, you know, just by everything that's there. In John 4:24, it says, "For God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." That doesn't mean that you have to get weird all the time. But what it means is that the focus of your life is the focus of worship. It's that focus of saying, God, You are good. You are in control. You're a good God. And I'm going to worship You with everything that I do. We should be able to enjoy our lives in a way that brings glory to God. How you entertain yourself should be an act of worship to God. How you spend your free time should be an act of worship to God. Something that you can glorify God in and give Him praise and glory and honor in the middle of all of that. In Acts 13:2, it says, "One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them.'" Worship led to the moving and the leading of the Holy Spirit in that case. Worship should be the center of who we are and what we are. And you know, frankly, that's not true for most of us. We've narrowed our vision of worship to what happens on Sunday morning between the hours of 10:30 and about 11:15. And then we're done and we say, okay, we're done with worship. No, we're beginning to worship. We've just begun to worship. And being led by the Spirit leads us into a life of worship. And then the third thing that we see here is the Holy Spirit brings peace and contentment. Now the Bible is very clear that there is peace and freedom and contentment. In 2 Corinthians 3:17 it says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There's freedom from all of the constraints, from all of the bondage that sin brings into our lives. He brings us freedom and contentment. And by the way, that should be the biggest source of contentment and joy in our life, is that we're free from the bondage of sin. If you're not free from the bondage of sin... Okay, everybody hang on to your pants here just a minute. Your pants, your chair is what I meant to say. Why did I say pants? If you're not free from the bondage of sin, you need to be led by the Spirit. You need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And your joy and your contentment comes from knowing that you are free from the enslavement, free from the penalty, free from the separation that sin brings into your life of God, that we can be free to worship Him in spirit and in truth, that we are free. You know, it's just good to be free. In Romans 14:17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink." He's referring back to the Jewish law. You know, you shouldn't eat certain things. You shouldn't drink certain things. That's not what freedom is about. It says, but it's living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you what the world is looking for today? They're looking for peace and they're looking for joy. They're looking for something that will give them a reason to live, something that brings a contentment and a satisfaction that they have tried everything else to do. They've tried to do it in drugs and in sex and in alcohol and, you know, all that other stuff, tried to bring freedom and joy. And it lasts for a little while, but when it's done, and you got to go back and get more, and it's not lasting and it's not satisfying. Plus, it brings consequences that you didn't want to have with it anyway. And so they're throwing up their hands and they're saying, where can I find peace and joy and contentment? The simple answer is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings peace, joy, and contentment. Now, where do you measure up in all of this morning? Are you living a life of freedom? Are you living a life of joy and freedom in the Holy Spirit? Are you living a life of contentment in the Holy Spirit? If not, you can be. Now, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? I've got good news for you. You don't have to give a certain amount of money and we'll give you the Holy Spirit. You know, for 10 easy payments of $1,000 each, we'll be happy to give you the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says you have to do one thing to receive the Holy Spirit. Ask. Ask. Ask for the Holy Spirit and He'll be given to you. And this morning, if you need to ask for the Holy Spirit, we're going to give you that opportunity. Now, you can do it here. You can do it at home. I know people that have been filled with the Holy Spirit in their bathrooms because they didn't want their wife to know what they were doing. I know people that have been filled with the Holy Spirit in homes and in prayer meetings and in church services. It doesn't matter where you are, but we're going to ask that the Holy Spirit fill you here this morning. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come forward. We're going to pray for you. We're not going to ask you to do anything. We're just going to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit come and fill you. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back this morning. And if you need that peace, that contentment, that joy, that fullness, that power of the Holy Spirit, so that you are the same person outside of these church walls that you are inside these church walls, so that there's that consistency that's there, I want you to know the only way you're going to do that is not by your own power, not by trying harder, not by being a better person. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit as He leads you, as He guides you, as He fills you with contentment and with grace. Would you stand with me, please? They're going to lead us in a song, and as they do, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to come forward. I'm going to ask the deacons and the prayer team to come and be with me up here, and we're just going to simply going to pray with you. I'm going to lay my hands on your forehead. If I can't reach that high, I'll lay them on your shoulders. But we're going to pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and to give you the grace that you need right now for this moment. So as they sing, you come forward and ask for the Holy Spirit.